Hello, friends. Welcome to Beloved City Church in person, online, on the podcast. Thank you for being with us in these few moments. No matter where you are on your faithing journey, new to faith and spirituality, exploring Jesus for the first time, or maybe you've been a longtime Jesus follower, I do believe today will be one more opportunity to help you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to take one more step toward truth about God and about faith and about yourself. I do truly believe that you and I are designed to walk in freedom, freedom from selfishness and self-indulgent behaviors and bitterness and resentments and rejection, evil thoughts, these four major things, these four major blockages of the heart. And these heart issues are driving our symptoms, blockages that are preventing you and I from living in the freedom and abundant life that we have been gifted in Christ Jesus. Is this you today? Are you currently living in such a way that you are not experiencing the fullness of life and freedom that Christ promises you? Well, what do we do when something is broken and not working in the way that it's intended to be? Well, what do? We look under the hood, pop the hood, so to speak, and see what might be the remedy. Maybe we get to go back to the creator and designer of us and you and I and ask him to take a look under the hood, per se, or expose our hearts, Jesus, so that we may give it to you, that situation, that problem, that heart blockage, and surrender to you to transform, to make us new. Hey, if you're new to the talk series, I invite you to check out any one of the past episodes and see what Jesus wants to say to you in this series of Freedom Looks Good on You, my friends. Friends, I hope you have your Bible and your notepad out. I do believe if you are willing, you will learn something from the Holy Spirit today, and you will want to write it down. Help your brain connect with it in a different way. Write it down, draw a picture of it. You will need to revisit it. Let it read you. Let it encourage you. Let it change your neural, your spiritual, and physical pathways today. So today, we're going to unpack rejection. You ready for this? Proverbs 18 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we're going to look at rejection and the words of life that can help you overcome rejection. Many of us, most likely all of us actually, have had words spoken over us that shaped the way that we think, the way that we act, the way that we respond. I remember even as a child, the old saying, you might remember this in the playground, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names shall never hurt me. Maybe some of you said that, I probably did. Well, that concept is grossly incorrect. Things that are spoken over us do cause us harm and pain. They sometimes even become more like curses over our lives. Words that cause a veil over our eyes, like experience, lending to tunnel vision, a blurred vision of self, a misunderstanding of self, of others, of life, and of God even. We will see ourselves through the conditioned lens that we are or were exposed to over a period of time. Yet I truly believe that Jesus wants to deliver, rescue, and heal you from these heart blockages of rejection that is often caused by words that were spoken over you or that you continue to speak over yourself even. In turn, when we are delivered or healed from rejection, we too can speak life instead of continuing to speak death. Words can tear down, words can build up. And I want to speak words, friends, that bring life, that bring healing and offer encouragement. That's a fresh life, right? I'd like to invite you on a similar journey with me. What are the words that have been spoken over you? Or what words are you speaking over yourself? And furthermore, what words are you speaking over others? See, when we have suffered rejection, it will often result in our own heart responding through our tongues in ways that brings harm to ourselves and to others. Fast to speak kind of way of existing rather than slow to speak. Get it off your chest kind of expression. Let it out, right? This toxicity. I want to get it out and spill it over everybody else. Out of frustration, out of anger, out of extreme disappointment, out of contempt, we respond from the posture and heart condition of this rejection by speaking death over ourselves and others rather than speaking words of life. Here's an example. Imagine yourself as a child trying to learn to read, and maybe a frustrated and worried parent or caregiver is listening in to you as you twist and continue to mispronounce the words days after days. And then finally, after maybe losing patience with you and hearing this frustrated kind of mispronunciation or this struggle and grappling to read or learn, lose patience, a parent yells or the caregiver yells, what's wrong with you? You can't even learn the simplest things. Why can't you read yet? At your age, you should be able to. You'll never be. You should already be. These words have dangerous potential to contribute to the child developing feelings of insignificance. Many of you, like me, have been there in some situations in life, insignificance and shame and senses and feelings of being unworthy, and you even possibly give up trying. It sucks the wind out of anyone's sails, right? Thoughtless words have a lasting effect that can change the course of a person's life, friends. The words we speak are a spiritual gauge, often revealing how much of our soul we have surrendered and submitted to God. Is our mind, will, and emotions dictating our lives, our soul? When we allow our minds to be renewed by His Word, the Word of God, what we often call the Scriptures today, the Bible, the records of the life of Jesus even, our conversation can't help but reflect what we are learning from the infallible and the inerrant Word of God, Jesus. John chapter 1 and 14 says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we get this example of the Word of God in flesh living amongst human beings. It's beautiful. We often, as humans, are pretty hesitant to release old habits and beliefs or belief systems. Our words will betray us often and reveal our heart conditions and our spiritual order. When our souls are not in submission to God, our tongues will be the first to sell us out. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, Jesus says this, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure stored up in his heart produces evil. For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, is what Jesus was saying. Do your words reflect that God lives inside of you, that His Spirit has made you alive, that you are full of Him? Jesus tells us that a life consumed with the cares and treasures of this world will lead to fruitless talk that will bring judgment upon us, dead works and fruitlessness, unable to grow, ineffective in our callings, spiritual formation lacking the sustaining resource that we need to grow and form in the likeness of Christ. We literally reap the consequences of our heart conditions here and now, friends. Yet He, Jesus, also invites us to participate in permitting our hearts to be transformed, becoming new men and women, a new way of thinking, acting, new ethics, new behaviors, new emotions, a life surrendered and submitted to God, filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the mind and character of Christ in you. We'll produce speech full of grace and mercy and love and power. This is the glory of God revealed in the earth today. Will you, along with me, seize the opportunity to partner with Christ through the Holy Spirit and be a taste of heaven around you today? Be a fragrance of heaven in the place that you're planted in. The presence and glory of God where you work, live, study, and play is beautiful. How? Through your words, friends. Can you imagine in you, with you, all around you, wherever you are, in church, outside of church, of course, because that's only 1 hour a week, a breath of fresh air in this dark and broken world. Jesus gave us an example of this in Matthew 5 and 16. Here is what He said. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. To further understand the significance and power of words, let's take a quick look at the power of God's word. Let's look to Him for some examples. Hebrews 11 and 3 says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we may now see did not come from anything that can be seen. His words are powerful, shaping the entire universe by speaking it into existence. God spoke the word in the world into being with words, and He still communicates to us by the Holy Spirit. Spirit through the written and canonized scripture, the Bible we call it today, with thousands of words. He also speaks to us through prayer and fasting when we submit ourselves and posture ourselves in humility, through the foolishness of preaching like we're doing right now, through the words and the life of others, audibly and non-audibly, through nature and the universe around us. God is always communicating. God is always communicating with you and I, and it doesn't often sound like thus saith the Lordeth, just so you know. God revealed himself in Jesus to us. In John 1, verses 1 to 5, we'll see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Mm-hmm. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, friends. No matter what our noisy host culture is telling us, or our host of religious culture even, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And John continues in John 1, 10 to 14, verse 10 in the same chapter. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. We're talking about Jesus. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born again of the Spirit is what we're talking about. And the Word became the flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Beautiful. This gives us a great example of who Jesus is. Since Jesus is God in human form, the very heart and glory of God revealed to man, who shows us the living example of God, is the only way to see and understand God. His life lived, Jesus is truly our example of what it means to be transformed and conformed into the likeness of God. That's becoming holy, that's becoming righteous. This is the Holy Spirit doing this work in us. And because God created man in his image, friends, our words also have power as well. So if Jesus is how we learn about God, I believe it would be extremely important to see a few examples of where Jesus demonstrates the power of words. We're talking about overcoming rejection and how freedom looks so good on you. In a boat with his students, Jesus, in a storm even, everyone was deathly afraid of dying. In Matthew 8 and 26 is the context. Jesus responded to their fear in this storm. Why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. Another event. There were two demon-possessed men living amongst the tombs who were extremely violent. No one felt safe to pass through the area because of the violence that these men were engaged in. So what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus wasn't afraid, of course. He came to set the captive free. And with his words in Matthew 8, 32, he says, "All right, go!" Jesus commanded them, so the demons came out of the men. Another powerful encounter with the Word of God. Words were uttered to raise a dead man to life in John 11, 43 to 44. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud, this is Jesus, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who had died came walking out of the tomb. Jesus revealed to humanity in person, written about in the historical accounts of Jesus, found in the Bible and made alive and powerful through the Holy Spirit. The Word of God can bring hope and healing, peace and joy, deliverance and life to the full, life abundant in your life, friends. It will transform your life. Did your life feel like chaos, like you're stuck in a storm and you're filled with fear? Are your thoughts and behaviors plagued by violence and darkness? Do you feel lifeless and filled with dead-like feelings of numbness and insecurity, unloved and worthlessness? The Word of Life wants to speak to you today and rescue you from this posture and state of existence. Will you trust Jesus to be your forgiver and your leader today and to speak words of life over you, friends? Okay, now there are two kingdoms at work in the earth today, two opposing forces. One of the ancients, a preacher and prophet named Isaiah, in Isaiah 14, recounts the fall of Satan. We're going to look at one of the opposing forces. Verse 12 and 14 of Isaiah 14 says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning? You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, 'I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High.'" See, through the power of Satan's spoken words of rebellion, the kingdom of darkness was established. And he actually spoke the first words of rebellion in his heart. That's where it started. That is often where rebellion starts, right here in our heart, when we say and speak things over ourselves. Satan and all of his imps and demons continue today to speak words of rebellion, plant seeds of rebellion into our minds. If we aren't enlightened to this truth, we will be his advocate in hurting others and even ourselves with the words that we speak, friends. I've heard this, and you probably have too, self-proclaiming to be the devil's advocate in just whatever situations it might be. Friends, I want to remind you, don't put yourself in such a posture to advocate for demons and devils and evil spirits. Every time we open our mouths to talk, friends, we are either advancing the kingdom of life or we are advancing the kingdom of death. What words are you allowing to be, first off, settling on your heart? And then what are you speaking? What kingdom are you advancing through your words? What words are being spoken over you or from you over others? See, when we were saved, rescued from sin or shame and hurts and all of our brokenness that was absorbed in Christ through faith, we weren't taken directly to heaven, right? Most of us, I don't think, were. But we were birthed into a new kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the body and the bride of Jesus Christ, his hands and feet and heart and mouth, designed and redeemed to reach lost people and make a difference by influencing, by leading others to know God, to find freedom, to discover their purpose and make a tangible difference, reaching people and making a difference that will last for eternity. By speaking words of life is where we can also begin giving love and light and life and forgiveness away, grace and truth given away. Yet, we can't advance the kingdom of heaven on our own, knowing we would need help in order to represent Jesus to the world. God sets us up for tremendous success by sending us the Holy Spirit, his spirit, the mind and character of Christ living in you to empower you to walk out in his likeness. Jesus told his disciples it would actually be to their advantage if he left and went back to heaven, no longer Jesus being with us in body form, but in the spirit living in us. Oh, so good. John 16:7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage." This is Jesus talking to his disciples, "that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." We can be filled with the Holy Spirit helper and surrendered and living in a posture of humility, knowing that we need Jesus every moment of our lives, his Holy Spirit, permitting him to be our leader throughout our entire life. So all of our rhythms and our passions, our motivations are led by his Spirit. No matter where you came from, no matter what you have experienced or who you are or what you know. Jesus said this in John 16:13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things are yet to come." See, when you are faithing, walking in trust of Jesus, Jesus as your forgiver and your leader through the Holy Spirit living in you, empowered by the Holy Spirit, God will give you the guidance, the direction that you need, including what you say. So ask yourself, am I being intentional to use my words to promote the kingdom of God and to minister to others? Or am I extending the kingdom of darkness through my choice of words? Reflecting back to the Garden of Eden, Satan spoke to Eve to entice her, to convince her, whatever you might want to call it. Eve didn't know it, but when she spoke to Adam about Satan's idea, she advanced the kingdom of darkness and rebellion through her spoken words. Genesis 3:17, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from, don't eat from that tree. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil, you will eat of it all the days. You're going to have to work the rest of your life to eat now." Satan didn't bite Eve and released his venom and poison into her body, nor did he wrap his coils around her and squeeze the life out of her. He literally talked her to death. What kingdom, friends, are you advancing? Life or death through your words, through your tongue? She, Eve, then proceeded to talk Adam to death by discussing the rebellious ideas that were seeded into her mind by Satan. Friends, it is of utmost importance to control our words. Death can be spoken over us, and we often return the same act by speaking death over others, acts of rebellion, anger, and hatefulness. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. When you eat from the tree of life rather than the tree of the knowledge of good and evil like Adam and Eve, fear and shame and rebellion, fruit of control issues. Do you have one? Wow, let's see what James says. James chapter 3 and verse 2 to 10 says, for we all stumble in many ways. Yes, we all do. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouth of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Verse 4, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs it, right? Verse 5, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of our life, and set on fire by hell, influences of darkness. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human can be tamed, can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we go and curse people who are made in the likeness and image of God. Verse 10, from the same mouth come blessings and cursings, friends. But the writer and author goes on to say, my brothers, these things ought not to be so. The power of the tongue, the power of words. Will you allow the Holy Spirit, friends, to produce the fruit of self-control in you and through you? Or we call it strength of spirit, spiritual order, your spirit man being made strong and alive, being made one with Christ's body, soul, and spirit. Is your spirit man being strengthened and led by the Holy Spirit today? Or is your body and soul leading the way today? Some of our greatest hurts and heartaches come from what people have said to us. And conversely, some of our greatest memories center on positive things that people have said to us, like the phrase, I love you. It's such an important, beautiful thing to feel when someone speaks that over you. Those are wonderful words to hear, but for some of us, they are hard to say, even to those we love. Friends, our words can either tear others down or build others up. Why don't we choose to speak truth in love today? Thinking on all the conversations that we have in a day or over a week or over a year, over a lifetime with Christ in us, we become a reflection of Christ, a resemblance of Christ. The words we speak reflect Christ in us. If our words and attitudes reflect differently, then we have been deceived if they don't. So if we're not reflecting Christ, friends, that we've been deceived. Our attitudes and our words must reflect Christ Jesus. Don't eat from the wrong tree. Eat from the tree of life and let your words be renewed and restored with life today. We can control ourselves, our ship per se, when we control the tongue. I do believe and have come to understand that the Holy Spirit gives you the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to do so. You're not alone in this. Let me give you some examples quickly of words of life versus words of death. Here's a words of life. I love you. Words of death, I hope is obvious. I hate you. Words of life, you're such a blessing. Words of death, I wish you had never been born. Words of life, I see potential in you. Words of death, you'll never amount to much. A word of life, you're smart. A word of life, you can do it. A word of life, you did your best. Word of death, you're a failure. Why bother even trying? Words of life, I forgive you, friend. Words of death, I never want to see you again. You're dead to me. You canceled that guy. Words of life, I'm committed to you. Words of death, I want a divorce. Man, the book of James, as we read, talked about the power of the tongue, our spoken words. James tells us that the tongue can defile the whole body. So here are three vivid pictures for you to reflect on, three of them. Number one, a bit, like a bit you put in a horse's mouth. The tongue is petite, small, weighing only about a couple ounces, but it is powerful, like the small piece of metal used to steer horses. The tongue can control the direction of our lives, friends. Number two, a rudder, a vivid picture. Although ships are typically large and driven by strong winds or motors today, they are steered by this very small blade, this rudder. Too often we focus on the big things and forget that this one little issue of the tongue could determine the direction of our lives. The tongue can control us, or we can use it to control our destiny. Let it be a rudder, a vivid picture. A third vivid picture, a spark, like we read in James. A spark, though caused by a quick strike, lightning strike, can set off a wildfire in the same way what we say might be curt, but can be consuming. Some of the most hurtful things that we have said or that have been said to us are sharp one-liners or even one word. These abrupt and rude statements may be quickly forgotten by the one who said them, but impact stays with the person who receives them. Wow. So what do we do? How do I tame my tongue? Well, the number one phrase that we use around Beloved City Church is stop, drop, and roll. Matthew 12 and 34, Jesus said, whatever is in your heart determines what you say. So it's the old principle of garbage in, garbage out. Some of us grew up in, and maybe still are in, homes and households or circles of influences that are critical to our development, where belittling marks or insults are the norm, or chiding or yelling is the main form of communication, much like I raise my voice. But our environment affects us, friends, and what we were modeled is what we often carry on. Ask Jesus to break off the generational sin and bondage. Holy Spirit, break this cycle. Break this rhythm off from my life. Stop, drop, and roll. Holy Spirit, help us. Number two, gauge your tongue. How do I tame my tongue is what we're talking about. Gauge it. A gauge is a tool that helps measure or determine the maximum amount of something. Measure it. If we had a gauge on our tongue, we might actually know when to stop speaking, right? Colossians 3, 8 to 10 says, but now you must put them all away, these things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices when you buried that old man in baptism with Christ Jesus and were risen to new life in Christ Jesus. You're a new man. Put away those things. Stop doing that. That's not who you are anymore. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. You are made in the image of God. Let's walk this out, friends. Psalms 141 and 3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Wow. All right, the third one, garnish your speech. Maybe garnish is not something a word you might use often, but you're not a chef, or maybe you're a cook. How do I tame my tongue? A garnish is an extra flourish, a pleasing aesthetic added to a dish. What would it look like for us to garnish our speech? Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Oh man, garnish your speech. Even when we have something difficult to communicate that may appear negative, or we can speak in a way that blesses and encourages one another, even when we're trying to give encouragement or instruction or discipline. 1 Peter 2 and 23, speaking of Jesus here, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten in return, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly, our Father in heaven. Hold the tongue into submission, friends, to the Spirit of Christ in us. This is the Jesus way, Padawans, my friends. All right, how do we grow in our ability to use wise words? Here's some proverbs and wisdom for you to utilize. I encourage you, write them down, listen again. Proverbs 4 and 24, never talk deceptively and don't keep company with people whose speech is corrupt. Great wisdom. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out foolishness, folly. Proverbs 16 and 27, a worthless person concocts evil gossip. His lips are like a burning fire. He can't stop talking with gossip. A deceitful man stirs dissension, and anyone who gossips separates friends. Oh man, lips like a burning fire from a gossiping person, and deceitful hearts causes dissension amongst people, division, right? So here are some life declarations that you can speak over you and your household to help break off this curse, to break off this rejection, to reverse the heart blockage of rejection, and to start seeing yourself as Christ sees you, unplugging the heart blockage. You say, take it away, God. I give it to you. I surrender to you. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit. Read these words aloud and receive the truth from God's word. I am blessed with God's supernatural wisdom, and I have clear direction for my life because of Jesus. I am blessed with creativity, courage, ability, and abundance. I am blessed with a strong will, self-control, and self-discipline. I am blessed with great family, good friends, and good health. I am blessed with faith and favor and fulfillment, blessed with success and supernatural strength and promotion and divine protection, blessed with an obedient heart, with a positive outlook on life. I declare that any curse that has ever been spoken over me, any negative evil word that has ever come against me, is broken right now in Jesus' name. I am blessed, and thanks, Jesus. Today, Friends, will you see yourself as God sees you? You will see others differently. You will speak to others differently. You will speak different words over yourself. You will find yourself with an open hands posture of humility to receive, releasing rejection, taming the tongue, giving words of life away, and living with abundant life. Friends, freedom does look good on you. Will you pray with me? Oh, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for me to live in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin and shame, my rejection, my brokenness. I choose to receive this extravagant gift of life abundant and ask you to come into my heart and be the Lord and the leader of my entire life. I give you all of me and ask you to lead my life for your glory. Fill me with your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, and help me to live the life that you died to give me. Turn my eyes toward you, face to face with you, Jesus. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to walk hand in hand with you. Holy Spirit, reveal and reconcile these areas in my life where I have held on to past words of rejection. Show me where I have permitted rejection to settle into my heart. Reveal to us how rejection mindsets block our hearts from all that you have for us. I surrender these to you, Jesus. Show me, continue to reveal me to me what your truths. Holy Spirit, change me and fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may walk in life to the full, in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, friends, let us know. We would love to walk this out with you, to explore what it means to walk with Jesus. If you would like to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus by baptism in water, let us know. We want to walk that out with you. At Beloved City Church, we are so passionate about what God has called us to do in this city, to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus, making an impact for eternity in both us and in those around us. Will you take a step to partner with us with your time, your energy, and your money with us at Beloved City Church to help us continue and grow the day-to-day ministries of Beloved City Church? Thank you for your generosity. Faith without works is dead faith, friends. Together we can work out of our faith. Make it official. Discover what it means to join our Big Table family here at Beloved. Sign up for the next family discovery night coming up soon. Help us make it work. Discover what it means to join the Grow team and serve the Jesus mission alongside a team at Beloved City Church and help us make it grow. Will you prayerfully consider giving financially to help support the day-to-day ministry of Beloved City Church? Thank you. We love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you in such a special way today. In Jesus' name, amen.